Welcome back to Making It Awkward. I'm your host, Jessica Wilson. The last couple of podcasts were a bit heavy for me, and last week's episode escalated on Instagram. I'll say more about it in future episodes, but I was in need of a break, so I asked my dad for an interview about ultra-processed foods. I also asked what he ate growing up and about the stereotypes maybe even he has about Southern food. And note here that there's a mention of the process of harvesting a chicken for food later on in this episode. Last month, I started a weekly series on Instagram about ultra-processed foods called Ultra-Processed Fridays. In the clips, you'll see me present an ultra-processed food to my dad for taste testing and ask him to read the ingredients before he tries it. For the first video, I served him a cherry-flavored kombucha. In the second, I kind of tricked him into eating hot Cheetos. And in the installment today, you'll hear I feed him a natural beef jerky.
What are we doing?
Ultra-processed Fridays.
Excellent. All right, you chose the meat stick.
Yeah, which is very, it's eaten all over the country.
Like a marker there. Meat stick, country archer, provisions.
See, it says country. Mm-hmm. At least the first ingredient is got grass-fed beef.
All right.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Then you got water, sea salt, encapsulated citric acid, cultured celery powder, and sea salt, dehydrated garlic, red pepper, black pepper, cherry powder.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that is. It must give it the red color. Mm-hmm. What the hell is that?
Coriander.
Okay, and onion powder, white pepper, ground nutmeg, parsley. Ooh, there's that collagen again, but for bleeding.
No, that you said that was another thing. No. So what do you think about collagen being in this product?
What is collagen anyway?
Okay, great question.
So I can eat collagen and not know what it is?
Yeah.
All right, here goes.
All right.
I don't think it's very good.
Not very good?
Try it.
I'm not trying this in. Try the other end.
Gee whiz. Not very good. It's kind of nasty.
Ultra-processed.
Very old. Yeah, here we go. Ultra-processed, but the people processing it probably don't even taste their own food.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
That was the much shorter 90-second edit for Instagram. The full video, along with visuals, will be available over on the Patreon. I really hope to have these videos of us up each week for the foreseeable future. My aim is to show the breadth and depth of all of the products that many news outlets and health professionals deem inherently unhealthy only by way of being an ultra-processed food. Next year, everything from that kombucha to hot Cheetos that is deemed to be ultra-processed could come with a health warning if the 2025 Dietary Guidelines for Americans includes language cautioning their consumption, as it is in talks to do. We shall see what continues to become of our nutrition information landscape. In this episode, my dad speaks a bit about nutrition himself, but none of it came from me. It must be from stories on television news and the newspaper, from his friends, and likely what he finds on an infomercial for a blender at 2 a.m. when he can't sleep. I realized that I could ask him way more questions to see what nutrition knowledge someone develops when they get it mostly from the news. In this interview, you'll also hear my senior citizen dog whining at my dad at multiple points. My dad is Tucker's favorite person, and my spouse and I just don't take it personally anymore. I hope you enjoy this conversation.
Dad.
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We recently started Ultra Process Fridays.
Sure did.
You have no idea why.
I got tricked one time.
Into eating hot Cheetos.
Hot Cheetos. You know, really, somebody told me that those things were the number one treat amongst people.
Kids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cheetos.
Because they're delicious.
Are they?
I mean, you only had one, so you don't have an accurate portrayal of the situation.
I don't.
Okay.
Okay.
I started Ultra Processed Fridays because the narrative about processed food is that it's all super unhealthy. All of it. But then the same people will come back and say there's some healthy ultra-processed food and some unhealthy ultra-processed food, which negates the fact, like, you can't have it both ways.
No, you can't.
So that kombucha I gave you.
Which is really nasty.
But that would be a healthy ultra-processed food.
Why? Because of kombucha?
Yeah. Like vegan cheese, also would be a, you know, maybe healthy ultra processed food. Collagen powder, some might say, is a healthy
collagen
ultra processed food.
Sound like something you put on your eyelashes. Anyway,
collagen you put on your eyelashes.
I don't know what it is.
Okay. So I am talking to people about the silliness of designating some things ultra processed foods and assuming that every ultra processed food is inherently unhealthy.
Well, it's got a lot more in there to take the, you know, put in the place of food some of the stuff was just totally unnecessary. It could have been the same without it.
It wouldn't have been red without cherry flavor, Dad.
Cherry color.
Cherry, yep, cherry color.
So, what color would it have been?
Probably brown.
So what? I mean, it was brown as it is. It wasn't that red. It was this thing was mostly brown. It was dirt color or brown. I don't. It's just.
So, do you think there could be healthy,
healthier,
ultra processed foods mm-hmm. like the main brand kombucha, the Synergy brand?
Mm-hmm.
That's an ultra processed food.
Yeah, but I bet it doesn't taste like the stuff that you did on the first one. people just had it wrong on that stuff. they haven't checked their taste buds or their
quality control.
Well, yeah, I mean something. They missed it someplace.
Okay. Anything else that you might eat that would be an ultra processed food?
You know, I'm crazy. I keep hardly any snacks in my house.
No. You are a fan of frozen yogurt.
Which is not bad, is it?
Oh, it's got so much in it.
Frozen yogurt?
Yeah.
No way.
Okay. Potato chips, if they're flavored.
No, they're not flavored. I just get the plain. The
yeah, so your potato chips would just be like potato oil and salt, which would not be an ultra-processed mm-hmm. food. What do you think about your potatoes being not an ultra-processed food and your frozen yogurt is a ultra-processed food?
I think there's not too much you can do to a potato to make it a process unless you put
add a bunch of flavor to it.
Well, unless you add it to hash, you know, you're like, okay, you want.
But hash browns are still just oil, salt, and potatoes.
But unless you put something in that is going to, you know, want to make them last longer, you know, so you'll have to put a whole lot of preservatives and stuff and then make them last. We're going to send our hash browns to the moon or something like that. But, you know, so cool. we got a doctor.
What do you think about your potato chips being a regular processed food and your frozen yogurt being an ultra processed food?
I have never looked at the actual ingredients of my frozen yogurt.
Would you say it would be, if you were to guess, would it be healthier or less healthy than your potato chips?
I would say it would be healthier because you're getting a lot more.
Yeah, it's not just a singular food.
Yeah, not just a potato. It's a lot more. You got milk fats. You got whole, you know, you got mm-hmm. various other stuff there. So it's got to be a more healthier.
Yeah. What do you think about our newfound foods, the Costco pupusas, being an ultra processed food?
I think those are ultra processed foods.
You think so?
Yeah. No, they have to be because, you know, they only need refrigeration.
Yeah, that's quite nice.
Some of the other stuff that I start tasting in there. I mean, okay, it just sounds
spices and things like that.
It's got a lot in there.
It does have a lot in there.
Yeah, it's an okay snack one, but you know, I even thought about it, so I cut back on buying. I don't buy them every time I go over there. Now, okay, let's mm-hmm. let's not buy these every time. Just buy them every now and then and have one, or you know, have a stash of them, but.
I like having a stash of them as backup.
Just as backup. Mm-hmm. It's not something I want to eat daily and have a, okay, I'm running late, I'm running out, so I'll you know, throw mm-hmm. a pupusa in the...
Better than not eating
at all? Better than not eating at all, but yeah. Still not something you want to do a lot of.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's your thought.
Yeah.
All right.
So I cut back on the buying of them.
What do you think about almond milk and oat milk being ultra processed?
Now, that's a toughie.
Okay.
Oat milk, I don't think that doesn't sound right.
Okay. What about almond milk?
How do you get milk out of oats?
In the same way you get them out of almonds.
You can crush the almonds, though, and add.
You can crush the oats.
rolled oats?
You'd like probably add water and like puree them. Okay. And we'll just have to add that information at the end here.
almond milk sounds a little... What's in oats?
The grain.
The grain. Okay, but what's in almonds? I mean, a lot more, right?
Yes, protein, fat, carbohydrates.
Now we get into it. Okay, almond milk then.
Almond milk. Mm-hmm. You think it's healthier?
Healthier, yes.
Okay, what do you think about it being an ultra-processed food?
It probably is, because in order to turn it into milk, they got to do a lot to it to make it milk, mm-hmm. other than just water.
Does all of that stuff make it unhealthy?
It doesn't make it unhealthy, in a sense. No, it doesn't make it unhealthy.
Okay.
Not when you're giving people an alternative that just have, just like me, have allergies to other.
Mm-hmm. Oh, our gluten-free bread has like
tons of stuff in it.
Tons of stuff.
Yeah. But I'm afraid I like toast.
I love toast. It tastes great with eggs.
Yeah, so I'm stuck with that stuff. I mean, I'm stuck with it.
I mean, I would love to have like regular bread, but.
No, you had to buy a bread maker and make your own bread and then put, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. Then you got to buy the gluten-free flour.
Mm-hmm. Got to know what to mix it with in order to make it.
Sure. Mm-hmm. You can do that.
Oh, I can do. How about you do that since you're retired?
No, not that much energy.
So I keep waiting until I'm retired to have energy to bake some home-baked bread. And yep. You say...
No, you buy the bread machine, you just throw all the ingredients in it, okay. And it does all the things, bakes it, whoop, and you just...
That's it?
Yeah. Okay. I don't think about getting one of those. If,
oh.
If, the initial purchase of it, and then, yeah, look at the initial purchase, purchase price, and then the ingredients and everything. You got to find all the ingredients. And like, where we shop at, you know, regular stores, do they have the gluten-free flours and stuff, or do you have to, we probably have to order that stuff.
Sprouts, Whole Foods.
Yeah, get ripped off.
Okay, so we're not doing that.
No.
Okay.
And if you know, you have to look at your ingredients to see what the heck, you know, you probably, because your flour, your gluten-free flour and everything is going to have the same ingredients that in the package of bread has in it. I don't know. I'm guessing.
I mean, if it's an all-purpose or a one-for-one, yeah, have like xanthan gum, mm-hmm. and other things like that, yeah.
You get the coconut flour and get the wheat.
Right. So it'd be the same thing, just in a bread maker versus. Yep. All right.
Yes.
Since we're talking about food, mm-hmm. we just took you to bacon and butter.
Yeah.
For your how manyth birthday?
77.
You say shh, and then you give the answer.
Very quiet.
77. So yeah, bacon, butter.
Yes.
Pork, dairy.
Hmm?
Bacon is pork.
Like Gotcha.
Butter, dairy. Mm-hmm. Ever since Alicia and I moved to Oakland, and a bit even before that, pork belly at like food trucks and pork belly restaurants and like use the whole pig philosophy was very getting popular. People were having chicken and waffles. Do you remember
Brown Sugar Restaurant? Yeah, chicken and waffles. I never got that concept.
Okay.
No, I didn't.
No Waffle House chicken and waffles. None of that.
Mm.
No.
And that's just something that doesn't sound. The two don't go together. I mean, you know,
all right. So
eggs and waffles, bacon and waffles, you know, but you know, mm-hmm. chicken drumstick, you know, drumstick and waffle. What the hell is that? Okay.
Fish and waffles.
Somebody might be doing it someplace. You never know.
Okay. So what?
Catfish and waffles.
Oh man. Fried polenta. Okra. All of a sudden, you're seeing okra in places you're seeing collard greens. Mm-hmm. Oh, before I forget, did you ever go to food trucks more than 10 years ago where food trucks looked at as...
greasy?
Yeah, like roach coach was a word.
Yeah, that's it. Road coach, lunch wagons.
But now, in the last 10 years of things, people want them at their weddings. Yeah, they want trendy.
They want food trucks now.
Yeah. They're called... Now there's prestige with the food trucks.
Yeah, because here again, I mean, I don't know who cleaned up the image of food trucks. I really don't.
Ooh, who cleaned up
the image? Because even during the late 90s, they were still just grease wagons. Boy, I mean.
That's what you called them? Or thought of them?
They were pretty bad.
And there's like whole food truck areas or things like that. Interesting.
I don't really know who cleaned that image up. I don't know exactly what happens because, you know, I was working.
Well, I think that maybe the question is who shat on the image to begin with, because.
What on the image?
Who shat on the image?
Shat on that motherfucker.
Yeah.
We're going to shat on you, dude. Sorry.
I mean, it's better than shitting.
Yeah, I know.
Shat.
So it's got a shit's got to pass in like shat.
Yeah. Shat it out.
I shat yesterday.
Yeah.
I did. Okay, cool. Yes, I did too, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Okay. Image of food trucks has vastly improved along with.
When did you notice it, really? I mean, did you notice it in Eugene or? Because, yeah, that was.
No, it was when I moved to Oakland and food trucks were like a big, like, first Friday situation.
Right. Because the food trucks that I remember was the one that drive from job site to job site, you know.
Ooh, and break what time. Kind of job site?
Construction sites.
Right.
You know, you get your greasy French fries or.
French hot, fries? How about. Well, okay, maybe.
They were the, you know, the ones you buy in the bag at the store, the frozen ones, the.
Oritas,
and that's what you got for French fries. Some of them had a different brand, but you know they had the grease in it that had been in it, you know, the cumin, the grease that had been in it, and they were all parked over on Powering Road. I can't remember the street, but you know they would go over there, and that's when they would clean their trucks out, and they would dump all the grease on there in the dirt parking lot, and it just smelled like shit. Honestly, it was. That's what it cleaned. You know. So, you know, all your fried food, you fried everything on there. But I mean, it was a deep vat of boiling oil.
Okay.
Yeah.
So somebody came along and.
How they cleaned it up? I don't know. When they cleaned it up, I don't know.
Well, I mean, they got.
Who made it fashionable anyway? Yes. Put it that way. I don't know.
I mean, now I got to find out.
I was out of involved with something else by the time it became fashionable.
Okay. Now. We can go back to what I was initially talking about, mm-hmm. was the grits, the grains, all of a sudden we're finding, yes, it's not polenta. Oh, wait, it used to be polenta. It was grits, then it was polenta, now it's grits again because grits are in fashion.
Right.
Yes, which is interesting.
Why are they all of a sudden become trendy to embrace
Southern food?
Southern food. I don't get it. You know it's unhealthy.
What? Why is Southern food inherently greasy and fried? Because it's not. There's so many. Are beans and rice greasy and fried?
No.
Grits?
No. Unless you fry them up after you cook them. Like at the time I had.
Yeah, you see how you associate like greasy and fried with Southern food when there's so many things that you.
Yeah.
Were collard greens greasy?
No, but it's cooked forever with a big old chunk of
ham.
No, not ham, but fat back in it.
But do you see how the association assumption?
Right, but it was also it comes from how I grew up eating.
Yes.
Also.
Yeah. Okay. So how did you grow up eating?
Everything was boiled or fried. The only thing that was baked was a turkey on Thanksgiving and the ham on Christmas.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What about?
Or hog head when I looked at it one time. Just, oh, shit. There's a hog head.
Grits?
Grits, yeah. Grits were everything, all veggie.
Yeah.
Everything was extremely overcooked.
Got it. Okay.
I didn't like asparagus until for one thing, it was canned asparagus anyway. I don't know. It was cooked. Whenever they. Asparagus, it was cooked to look like the same asparagus as you get out of the can. It wouldn't hold up to a fork. You just kind of lift it and it's kind of like, yeah. Now, if it's whatever vegetable, nutrients or whatever, good part of the vegetable was cooked out of them by the time we got to them.
Interesting.
They were cooked forever.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, that would be, you know, collard greens, your green beans.
And is this your family and like your family not? Knowing how to cook them?
That was just the way they cooked everything.
So they knew how to cook them and that was just the way they were cooking
That's just the way they cooked them. Everything was extremely overcooked. All veggies were always extremely overcooked.
Okay. Tell me.
Still has some flavor, but I think all the nutrients were, you know, drained out of them or Well, everything was left in the same liquid that you cooked them in. So it was your choice, I guess.
Interesting.
Yeah, but everything was extremely overcooked.
And is this at your house in Georgia, or is this when you went home both to Alabama?
Both places.
Okay, so it happened in Georgia and Alabama. Mm-hmm. When did you go to Alabama?
Right after I moved. We were going back the first summer after they moved.
So from how old to how old?
My sister was in first grade, and I'm 2 years behind her, so I was probably 4 years old when we moved from Alabama, from Monroeville to Toccoa.
Okay.
And we went back practically every summer up until I was at the age of maybe 14, 15.
Mm-hmm.
And became kind of spotty after that. I mean, we wouldn't do it every summer, but after.
Okay.
Yeah, but it all came to a stop when I was probably about 15 or so. Okay, that was the last summer there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So while you were there, you worked on the farm?
We raised animals. Yeah.
What kind of animals?
There were pigs, there were chickens, there were mostly pigs and chicken.
Uh-huh.
I saw a lot of those when I was there.
Yeah. How did the family use and cook the chickens and the pigs?
Oh, yeah. I mean, chickens, go out there and pick me a chicken and kill it and, pluck it and bring it in. We're going to have it for dinner.
Yeah. Did you do that?
I had to, yeah.
Yeah? You picked one?
There it is. Which one you want, Barney? Okay, run it down, Barney, and kill it and pull the feathers. Oh, boy. Dip them in. Mm-hmm. They had the thing of water boiling here. I mean, not to the point where it was boiling, but at the point where it was pretty hot, and you just dipped your bird in there, boy, and then pull it out, and then you just start. Yeah.
Taking the feathers off? Did you cut it open and remove the guts?
No, somebody else did that. Yeah, that's grown-up stuff.
Okay.
I ain't doing that.
You did the first two steps.
I killed it, and I plucked it. I'm not doing it.
Okay.
It was foul.
It was foul.
I don't really see how I was able to eat it after.
Well, what do you think? Because was it just normal? That was normal.
That was normal.
Yeah.
For Monroeville, yeah. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think about today, the people who are like the back to the land, we should be eating that way again. We should be picking a chicken and eating it the same night because that's fresher and better.
Try it and see if you can if you can make it work.
Try it and see if you can make it work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I mean, there's going to be a lot of road bumps in there. There's going to be a lot of hurdles you got to get. For one thing, you're going to have a lot of chickens to sustain it because, you're taking one out of the group, then you're just taking it, the generation that was going to come after that one. You just took care of that. So you're going to have to be propagating a whole bunch of chickens.
Mm-hmm.
And then chickens draws critters. Boy, I mean, I fought critters in the barn house, so long.
That's when we got rid of our chickens.
Monroeville was fight the critters. I mean, if it wasn't wild dogs, it was possums and raccoons. I mean, living off the land has its drawbacks.
Just a couple. It's not all romantic as we're taught.
No, it's a lot of work. That's every day. Yeah, you get up every day when the sun comes up because the chicken. Yeah, and then you got to be there every day to close the gates on the chicken when the chicken go to roost.
Yeah. What about the pigs?
Pigs are just ill-tempered.
Do you think they're ill-tempered because they're on a farm and they know that their end is near?
No, I don't think they have that much intelligence. I just think they're just
Some people say pigs are very intelligent. You and Alicia doubt this. The two of you who have actually worked on farms.
Yeah, I've seen them, but there's a lack of good sense there. All of it. Yeah, they're a group animal that has pecking order and everything else. I mean,
that's what humans are, maybe they are just as smart as humans.
But no, people are probably judging it from everybody has the pet pig. You know, everybody wants, that was the big thing. I don't know if it's still the same thing. I mean, have a pig. What do you want a pig in your house, boy? A pet pig?
Oh, yeah.
No. So, but no, as you put a number of pigs, and there's always squabbling, fighting, and everything. If you get them together, plus the filth, the smell is just enough to drive you crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, granted, raise pigs, but here again, you got to have a massive amount of area for the pigs. Again, we didn't have the massive amount of area; we just had a pig pen. And that was it. Yeah, no, you didn't.
How often did you slaughter a pig?
They would do one or two at the end of every summer.
Oh, and how long would that last?
Oh, it lasted a long time because they were heavily slaughtered, packaged and everything. Well, slaughtered, and we had a smokehouse in Monroe. Ooh. We had a smokehouse.
Okay.
And somebody would come over and slaughter, slaughtered some. Sometimes you hung the pig after, and smoked it. Sometimes it was sent off to the processor,
mm-hmm.
and came back. And there must have been some storage facility. I mean, another relative had a freezer or something that something like that. Mm-hmm. The processing of it,
mm-hmm.
and that's where it was stored. Somebody had a freezer or something, and that's where it was stored.
Okay.
Yeah.
What'd you do with the rest of the pig?
Never saw it again.
I thought you said you made soap.
They made Lysol. I think they had a big cast iron pot.
Yeah.
And Lysol was the king. I mean,
how do you make pig fat and lye,
and you put it in this big pot, and you just
keep going,
keep boiling until it turns to a jelly, and then you just leave it there and left it in the pot. Never bought it in the house from there. I mean, my grandmother wanted some soap. You go out there into the pot where it was being cooked, and you cut a chunk of it out and bring it in. We bathed in it. She washed dishes in it. Everything was in Lysol.
Hmm. Clothes?
Wash clothes in Lysol. That was you. And hers was always gray, and it never foamed up. You never got the foamy, but you got the slick.
Oh.
Built it, but it never got foamy. But I remember we go out there, she wanted soap. The stuff was still in the big cooking cast iron. And just take the knife and just cut a square out of it and bring it in.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. If we were going to bring this whole food situation full circle.
Mm-hmm.
You started on a farm.
Yeah, until I was 4 years old. I can remember certain, maybe three. I was thinking about it the other day. I could go back as far as my memory cells would allow me, and I could have little flashes of times when I was there,
mm-hmm.
when I was about 4 years old.
Okay.
Gathering eggs and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. How often did people eat eggs?
Oh, that was common, boy. I mean, you had scrambled eggs all day long.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I do.
And they're always scrambled, too. You never had...
Oh.
Yeah, all the eggs are scrambled.
Not all that fancy shit.
Scramble.
Okay. So, you started plucking chicken feathers.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I've taken you from your childhood memories of chicken
mm-hmm.
to present day...
Which I can't eat a boiled egg right now without... Right?
Without thinking of it as a chicken fart?
Yeah, kind of like, because that was the shock of my life when I saw the chicken lay the egg.
Okay. So I've taken you
from
chickens.
The egg came out of the butthole of a chicken.
It's a cloaca.
When you're 4 or 5 years old, you don't know where chicken eggs come from, right?
I know, it's a cloaca.
Yeah. Ah, what the hell is that? So, it shocked me. And I couldn't eat an egg again for a while.
A boiled egg. Or a whole
egg? Couldn't eat an egg again for a while. I almost got my butt whipped because I couldn't. Wouldn't eat my breakfast, and my grandmother made me sit there until I ate my breakfast, and I still wouldn't do it.
Okay. So, taking you from chicken feathers to grass-fed
whatever the
beef sticks and kombucha and hot Cheetos.
Mm-hmm.
And there went from a time when Southern food was vilified to today when gentrification has really, or all of those things mm-hmm. have come together where Southern food... We stayed in line for 45 minutes at Bacon and Butter to be able to eat.
To eat, what did I have? An omelet, right?
Yeah, you didn't travel far outside.
No, I didn't. Because I looked at the other choices on the menu there, and there wasn't that many.
Okay, we can pause to pet the dog.
No. I mean, the other choices on the menu were heavy calories. Everything on the menu was heavy calories, boy. I mean,
You worried about calories at 77?
No, I'm not worried about them, but I'm worried about why should people serve them? I put it that way. I mean, restaurants are not looking out. I think a restaurant
should. Maybe it's your bias?
Yeah, restaurants should be looking out for.
Why?
They're looking out for profit. Whatever brings money in the door, that's what they're looking
right.
out for.
Right, gigantic portions, sign me
they
up.
They were gigantic portions.
Leftovers?
Good grief.
Who doesn't want leftovers?
The people that was close to us, boy, I mean, they brought out some plate of pancakes.
Very jealous. I think it was...
The thing was this high.
Pie waffles?
I don't know, but it's a whole bunch of it.
Pie French toast. Apple pie French toast.
God, that was a big old mound of it.
I know, I was very jealous.
Why?
Because I can't eat it.
Oh, because of the gluten?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I wasn't. I was glad I couldn't eat that stuff, but because good grief.
All right. It seems you have complicated feelings about calories and portions.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Okay. Southern food, even mm-hmm. you will call it all greasy mm-hmm. and unhealthy.
Right.
We went through.
It could be cleaned up a lot. Southern food could be cleaned up a lot to make it.
But what's wrong with fried chicken?
Nothing's wrong with fried chicken.
Great, because it's very popular, and you put it with waffles now, and you sell it for a lot of money.
Yeah, but I'm looking at fried chicken. I mean, the everything else that went along with that fried chicken that was served at the meal, you know.
Interesting. Yeah. So if you had like a kale salad and fried chicken.
It was cutting it up a little, making it a little bit more healthier.
Okay.
Because we had, and when you say Southern food, I mean, I'm looking at the Southern food dinner, you know, how the heck it was served to us. Boy, and that thing was, whoa. I mean.
Interesting.
It was all. But now I notice all your places that are, mm-hmm. you know, they sell like one dish or one portion of Southern food and plus some other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you might have your fried okra, but you got it with some other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And still, we have fried chicken, fried okra, collard greens.
What's wrong with collard greens?
Sweet tea. You had the whole thing there, everything in the world, your macaroni and cheese and everything, all there in one setting.
Okay.
Instead of having collard greens by themselves with something or fried chicken with some other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had it. Woo! You know, that was at every dinner that we had, there was a meat with it of some sort. It was pork chops or chicken
mm-hmm.
or fish.
Fried pork chops?
Yeah, fried, and a baked pork chop. They don't know nothing about that big stuff.
Okay.
It was fried pork chops.
Mm-hmm.
So, and fried fish. So, there was always a meat with every.
Okay.
With every. Every dinner meal.
Got it.
Lunch or supper.
Supper, yes.
Supper.
So you don't have a meat with every dish in your 70s?
Mm-hmm. No, just like today. I had eggs with thin slice of cheese on toast.
Yeah. What did you eat yesterday, Dan?
I'm trying to remember.
Because I'm kind of worried about you.
And I had good meals yesterday. I had two good meals. I think I made some chili. Turkey chili.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
and what else?
I had a normal breakfast of eggs.
Okay.
And I think apple sausage or something like that. And the dinner was, I made chili the night before.
Okay.
Turkey chili. Mm-hmm. It had beans, it had kidney beans in it. It had tomato sauce,
mm-hmm.
tomato juice. Yeah.
Okay.
So that was, I had that on. What did I put it over something.
Rice?
No.
No.
I don't think I ate it by itself, but I put it up. Maybe I did eat it by itself.
I mean, you were the expert of your own experience.
Yeah. But turkey chili, yeah.
Okay, so you had like two meals.
Mm-hmm.
And are you going to have two meals today?
Probably.
Is there ever like a third or a snack in there? Or is your
light? Yeah, there's always a snack in there.
Okay.
So it's actually three meals a day, but I have a light snack to keep them. I never keep the hunger pain down. You have a light snack.
This sounds like how you worked your day, where you wouldn't take a break. You would just have a, quote, lunch snack.
Mm-hmm. When I,
get you through.
Yeah, when I was actually working and I had the breakfast.
Yeah.
And then would have a heavy lunch at work, but just and, you know, have a snack enough to keep me from getting hungry. Then I come up and have something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm a 2.5 meal a day or something like that.
Yeah.
But I still, it's still 3 meals a day. I always eat the breakfast in the morning. Where I know a lot of people would just get up and go and they wouldn't eat breakfast in the morning.
Gotcha.
That was dumb.
Mm-hmm. We went on a journey to meat sticks, kombucha, and hot Cheetos.
You ain't lying. Had a bunch of wrecks too. Right? Bam!
Can I count on you for future Ultra Process Fridays?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Let me pitch an idea to you.
What?
I am thinking about writing a book about ultra-processed foods.
Okay.
And how we demonize them and vilify them and think they're inherently unhealthy.
Unnecessary.
So I'm thinking of doing...
I think the manufacturers could make a healthy, whatever, beef stick.
That is a healthy beef stick. Everything in there is...
all natural?
Yes.
But no, they can do that.
You just don't think it tastes good.
It tastes like shit.
Yeah, that's the problem. Grass-fed beef, vitamin C, celery powder, dehydrated garlic, red pepper, black pepper, cherry powder. You just ate it again. Coriander, onion powder.
I'm giving a second chance. Man.
How'd it go the second time?
Now I'm more prepared for it. It's not that bad.
Yeah. We've been smelling it. We got some, like, notice. Nutmeg, parsley.
Okay.
Collagen casing. All those things are, quote, natural.
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 Okay. So, natural tastes bad. That's the only thing I can say.
Maybe that's why they add all the things to the flavorings to make things.
Maybe natural just tastes bad. So, that's why the other ones, the Slim Jims and whatever the heck they are.
Yeah.
They taste better because, you know, the natural tastes like shit.
Well, now you know what we need to do.
What?
Let's do a taste comparison. Mm-hmm. Taste comparison between Slim Jims and... still got a bad taste. You brought it on yourself. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for participating in Ultra Process Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for coming on and telling me about your food stuff and what you think about Southern food.
Yeah, I'm going to look into that more about the resurgence of Southern.
You're going to look into it more?
Yeah. How many? I don't think there's a number of restaurants in the Sacramento area that are, you know, that are now serving Southern food, is there?
Yes.
There are a number?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I mean, there's at least number one. Okay. But yeah, we went to a number.
Bacon and butter is...
Yeah, we'll count them up for sure. But yeah, there's one. There's the traditional Southern food one.
But bacon and butter is what they think they're doing. They're reviving the Southern
cooking. They're capitalizing on the gentrification of Southern food.
I gotta take a look at their menu then.
Fixins?
Yeah, fixin.
Fried chicken.
Fixing is more. They don't have the same fatty stuff that we went to Fixing once, right? And that was a very kind of a limited. We had what do they have? Potato salad, greens.
This is because we can only eat those things because everything else
didn't have a lot of
was breaded and had gluten or had a roux in it or a gravy.
Yeah.
So we had like red beans and rice, grits with cheese, and like fried okra because that's the only thing we could eat there.
Yeah. But I didn't seem that they, from the menu, it was a scaled down menu from what you had at Bacon
Bar. Oh, sure. Okay.
As far as the, and it wasn't a 10-pound plate. I'm sorry.
You don't have to be sorry, Dad. You can be your authentic self with me.
I don't think you need a 10-pound plate of food.
I mean, I would like a 10-pound plate of food that I could have for leftovers.
Leftovers, okay, let's go. All right.
I mean, it's like meal prep, but I got it at a restaurant.
Yeah, true.
I mean, you can make your choices. These will be mine.
Yeah, you can have food for the next 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
That sounds great.
One day sitting and 3 days eating.
Yeah.
Okay, I get that.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks for chatting.
It's a pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed that interview as much as I did. From what I heard, I think my dad has some conflicting and perhaps complicated feelings about Southern food. I'm going to continue talking to him about it, and I might even try cooking some of it with him sometime. Because of this conversation and because of Ultra Processed Fridays, I think that if I end up doing a book on ultra processed foods, that my dad will be featured throughout. As a note, from the oat milk conversation and debate on processing, it seems it includes milling, it includes enzymes, it includes separating the liquid from the chunky bits, and then adding any vitamins or flavors or whatever else they're going to add. How this differs from almond milk, I still have yet to find out. And lastly, after this interview, my dad looked up shat to see if it was a real word. He was surprised to find that it's in proper online dictionaries. For next week's episode, I am excited to bring us yet another fun food conversation. I interview Daphne Jenkins about the cultural and indigenous foodways of Hawaii and how she's building community through food. We'll leave it to my dad to close out the episode.
You want to tell the people to keep making it awkward?
Keep making it awkward and...
Do you want people to make it awkward?
Sure. I want everybody to. Edited by Jen Jacobs. It was pretty cool.
Who's it sponsored by?
What was it sponsored anymore? Oh, that place over there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sacramento Outdoor Service.
Excellent.
The legacy. Mm-hmm. Because it's no longer there. Mm-hmm. So now it has to be a legacy, right? Mm-hmm. In the remembrance of.
Hosted by?
Oh, Jessica Wilson. Mm-hmm. And homeboy Wilson.
Okay. What's the podcast called?
Making It Awkward.
Excellent. High five.